Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. This is the Ash'ar of Arif Billah Hazrat Aqdas Hazrat Maulana Shah Haki Muhammad Akhtar Sahib Nawar Allahu Marqadahu. The title is Zindagi mein
bas mere dil mein teri mohabbat na hai, bas mere dil mein teri mohabbat, dil mein tera dard ulfat rahe, mere dil mein tera dard ulfat rahe, meri duniya bas dil mein dard mohabbat rahe, meri duniya ulfat salamat rahe, روز و شب قلب اختر کی ہے یہ دعا, روز و شب قلب اختر کی ہے یہ دعا, میرے مولا میری استقامت رہے, بس میرے دل میں تیری محبت رہے, بس میرے دل میں تیری محبت رہے, زندگی میری پابند سنت رہے, میں جہاں بھی رہوں جس فضا میں رہوں, میں جہاں بھی رہوں جس فضا میں رہوں, میرا تقوی ہمیشہ سلامت رہے.
بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم, نحمده ونصلی ونسلم على رسوله الكریم, اما بعد. This poem, which was compiled by our respected Dada Shaykh Maulana Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Rahimahullah, is just a collection of some du'as that he had made. And he presents it to us with this hope and intention that we also will learn how to make du'a to Allah. Really, when a person hears the du'as of the friends of Allah, then our minds also are able to adapt and understand how to present ourselves in front of Allah, what requests to make. And may Allah give us all tawfiq that we can daily make it a track. We can read one manzil every day, one portion. And we look at the du'as of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The way that he had made du'a to Allah, this alone is a clear proof that Islam is true. And that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the Nabi of Allah. His ma'rifat, his recognition, how he saw Allah, how he saw himself before Allah. When a person hears these du'as, I make dua, Allah grant me all of these realities, Allah grant it to all of us. But this is something that's supposed to be a passion within the heart. Whenever a person turns to Allah, if a person's eyes have to open in the middle of the night, then at that moment also, what is that one wish which will come to his heart? That one prayer that he will make, that one dua, he will turn to Allah. What is it that will come to his mind at that moment? Will it be regarding my business? Then it's also fine to make dua for your business. Will it be regarding your family? Then it's also good to make dua for your family. Or will it be regarding the friendship of Allah? Here, listen to these duas. This is supposed to be that passion in the heart. One feeling, one burn in the heart. One fire which is burning. And when a person realizes these are my requirements in life, then his whole vision in life will change. Now his objectives will be different. His company will change. His thinking will change. His talk will change. His behavior will change. They are coming close. Why? This man, now his entire life has changed. His perspective has changed. Listen to the dua that he makes. The entire thing is his dua. He says, "Oh Allah, my one wish is that in my heart only your love must remain." Such love of Allah must penetrate into the heart. And it must fill the heart in such a manner that it is Allah's love alone. A person can love his wealth, he can love his family, he can love many other things of this world. It is permissible as long as it is less than the love of Allah. But a lover of Allah, one who really, really wishes for Allah's love and closeness, he understands every drop of Allah's love is more superior than all the treasures of this world. Finally, the time will come, he will beg Allah for his love to that extent, that Allah's love will be the only objective in his heart. Then when he loves his parents, he will love them for the sake of Allah. When he loves his wife, he will love her for the sake of Allah. When he loves his children, he will love them because Allah has commanded him to love them. Whatever he loves will only be because of his relationship with Allah. This is the dua, O Allah, in my heart. Only your love must remain. And my lifestyle must be such that it is bound by the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. On the one hand, in the heart, love for Allah, complete. But the proof of the love of Allah is that we follow in the way shown to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. No person can be a true lover of Allah until he does not fulfill this criterion. His life is in conformance with the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. To follow, bring Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam sunnah 100% is not within the capability of any single human. But to at least conform to his sunnah, to make sure Allah's commands are not being broken, to make sure that Allah's sins are abstained from, and those basic sunnahs which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam emphasized so much, at least that much sunnah mu'akkadah, bring it into our lives. And then the further we will go, and the more sunnah we will bring into our lives, we will see the enjoyment. As Mawlana had narrated to us, Mawlana Muhammad Ilyas rahimahullah used to say, even if the non-Muslims of the world have to implement the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Jannah they won't get in Akhirah. They won't be successful in the year after. But in this world at least they live a life of chainage, a life of peace, a life of happiness. At least in this world, in the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's life, is the most superior and beautiful example. May Allah give us be safe from every single sin. وَلِمَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ وَنَهَى النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَىٰ. Allah says in Quran, that person who fears standing in front of his khashya. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's dua was this: oh Allah, grant me that amount of your fear. اللهم رزقني من خشيتك ما تحول به بيني وبين معاصيك. Oh Allah, that amount of fear which can become a barrier between me disobeying you. So he asked Allah for this. Oh Allah, in front of me, such fear of Qiyamah must be there that I can be safe from every kind of sin. Oh Allah, wherever I may be, in whichever environment I may be, my taqwa, I make dua, oh Allah, you keep my taqwa safe. Taqwa is one gift which comes from Allah. When a person is saved from sin, so to say, it is an umbrella over our head. Rain is falling on all sides. A person at any moment can get wet, but Allah puts this umbrella over our head. This umbrella is called Allah's mercy. As long as Allah's mercy stays there, a person is safe. The moment that umbrella is moved, a person will drown. A person will become wet. A person will fall into difficulty, problems. He will come under the anger of Allah. Allah keep that umbrella over us of his mercy. His dua is this year, oh Allah, wherever I may be, whatever the environment may be, no matter how much the rain may be pouring of sin, everywhere around, the time of December has come, it has gone, but all of that evil which was there surrounding the people, but at that time they are those friends of Allah, in their hearts there is no inkling also towards any sin. They are happy, they are so content with the life Allah has given them. All of the evil environment around them, the pain is there, that so much sin is taking place. But in their own life, there is no inclination also towards the ways of the disbelievers, towards their holidays and their parties, and towards their sin and their evil. Whichever environment I may be in, whichever place I may be in, oh Allah, I ask you keep this taqwa protected. Oh Allah, you create within my heart a hatred for every aspect of dunya. Dunya is those attractions of this world which makes a person ghafil from Allah. It makes a person negligent and forgetful of Allah. Otherwise, many a time things of this world can bring a person closer to Allah. Using your wealth in sadaqah, spending it on other people, using it in deeni causes. A person looks after his family, he stays independent, he does not beg from others. That is the command of Sharia. But when dunya is that which has been over and over, the evil of it has been spoken about in Quran and Hadith, it is that dunya which turns a person's heart away from Allah. That when dunya enters into the heart, some of our mashayikh, Murana Jalaluddin Rumi rahimahullah used to say, when living in this world, we are like people sailing in a ship. As long as the water remains outside the ship will continue sailing. The water is required for the ship to sail. Things of this world are required for our lives to carry on. But at the moment there is a hole in the ship and the water comes in, then that ship is bound to destruction. The moment the love of this world has entered into the heart, That is when our lives become destroyed. Things of the world, the attractions of the world. Oh Allah, create a hatred for those things which will turn me away from you and make me ghafil and negligent regarding you. And oh Allah, in my heart there must only remain the pleasure of taking your name. That desire should be there at every moment. Oh Allah, when can I remember you again? A mu'min in the zikr of Allah is like the fish in water. And the moment he comes out of the zikr of Allah, he is uneasy. Ala bi zikrillahi tatma'innul qulub. Only in the remembrance of Allah do hearts find contentment. Oh Allah, in my heart there must be the pain of your love. And this world of your love, oh Allah, must just be protected. A person now starts moving towards Allah. Love is created in the heart. But many a time in a love, an example of a worldly relationship, one party does something which is displeasing to the other, and now suddenly that entire relationship is on the rock. Many a times we have started towards Allah, love has been created, but then we do such a thing which displeases Allah. A person now feels distance from Allah. At that time, one beautiful dua our mashayikh have taught us, the dua of Yunus alayhi salam, which he recited in the stomach of the fish. He said, La ilaha illa an subhanak inni kuntu min al-zalimin. Oh Allah, there is none other for me besides you. La, this is one translation some mashayikh have given. There is none other for me besides you. You are most pure. I am human. You are pure. Inni kuntu min al-zalimin. I have oppressed myself. We also turn to Allah whenever we feel that distance. We have done something which has broken our relationship. Allah loves us. Allah always loves us. But we brought something in between us and Allah which made us go far. Now the requirement is that we must bring it back. So one is, oh Allah, give me your love. And the second is, oh Allah, that world of love that I am living in, make it remain forever. It must never happen that that love relationship breaks because I do something silly. I do something foolish. Oh Allah, you protect this love in this world of love. And oh Allah, let my name be written amongst your lovers. Even though I am very ashamed of the sins I have committed, I have done so much evil, I don't deserve to be written amongst your lovers. But out of your kindness, your very special lovers, oh Allah, you write my name amongst them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it that our name can also come in that register. Ibrahim al-Adham rahimahullah, one day, he had seen a dream and he saw two angels writing something. So he said to the angels, what are you writing? So they said, we are writing the names of the friends of Allah in the world. So he asked, is my name there? So they looked in this list and they said, we can't see it. He said, okay, at least this much, I will be a lover of those people who are the lovers of Allah and who are the beloveds of Allah. So the angels said, we've been given the command on this statement of yours that we should write your name at least on the top of the list. May Allah give us, bless us with love for Allah and all of the people and all of the actions which are related to Allah. So Allah, make my name be written amongst your lovers. Even though I'm very ashamed over my sins, I don't deserve it. And oh Allah, may my every desire be sacrificed for your pleasure. I love to do certain things, but oh my Allah, you don't like I must do it. I want to live a life like this, that I must be ready to make such sacrifice, that whenever I desire to do something but my Allah is not happy, I must give up my own wish and my own desires, and I must fulfill your command. I must be ready to sacrifice like this year, and there must not be even any kind of regret in my heart. Actually, one feeling of happiness should come. Sometimes when a woman crosses in front of us, then at that time they'll bring your gaze down. Or actually every time, whenever a woman crosses in front of us, lower your gaze and at that time speak to Allah and say, oh Allah, I am so happy that in lieu of this year you are going to bless me with the sweetness of Iman. The day when we make that sacrifice and speak to Allah and say to Allah, oh Allah, you know what rewards you have prepared for me in Akhirah. At that time there, the happiness that's supposed to be experienced in a mu'min's heart, today I sacrifice something for my true beloved, for my Allah. And oh Allah, let this pain of your love remain in my heart alone. Hazrat Rahimahullah at this time addresses Mir Sahib Rahimahullah or any person who could be referred to as Sir. He says, Sir, only Allah's love must remain in the heart. And then the dua continues. He said, Meri dunya ulfat salamat rahe. And this world of love for Allah, this must always remain protected. He says, day and night, in the heart of Akhtar, this dua keeps on repeating itself. Sometimes the tongue will say it, but at every moment it must be in the heart. This one wish, this one passion. He says, day and night in the heart of Akhtar, referring to himself as Marana Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Rahimahullah. He says, this dua remains in my heart. And I make dua, O Allah, O my Mola, O my Master, you bless me with istiqamah on this year. That all of this which we have made dua for, it mustn't just be temporary, but it must remain right through. This relationship must never break. Allah bless me with all of these realities. Allah bless us all.
Alhamdulillahi wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina astafa. أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قد أفلح من زكاها وقد خاب من دساها صدق الله المولانا العظيم Allah tabaraka ta'ala had sent Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with the great mission of Nabuwat. And in the functioning of Nabuwat, amongst the duties of Nabuwat, ulama have outlined three particular functions, though there are many more. The one of it is that Nabi Ali salatu wa salam was sent innama bu'ithu mu'allima, as a teacher to mankind, teacher of deen, of who Allah Ta'ala is, what deen is, what akhirat is, what the commandments of Allah Ta'ala are, how we should fulfill them, etc. And Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, how many ahadith of the great, great virtues of knowledge. In fact, we should also, all of us, not that ulama are different group, we are different, ilm, knowledge, all of us must make it the object and quest of our lives. Whether we are ulama or whether we are not ulama, but to acquire knowledge, we should try from the cradle to the grave. Continuously we must be acquiring knowledge. And we should make dua to Allah Ta'ala that, Ya Allah, grant me this knowledge, and in my progeny also. That, O Allah, in my children also, this knowledge of deen, make it the object and purpose of our lives. Make it that we have a passion for the knowledge of deen. So this is a very great dua also that we should make, that the knowledge of deen we acquire, and then we spread deen also, and to spread the knowledge of deen. That is also a great thing. In whichever form, we write kitabs, we give bayans, we establish a maktab, we establish a darul ulum, whichever way, but to promote deen, to propagate deen, to teach deen, this is a very, very great thing. Even we contribute towards it. Some people in that way, whichever way, like for example, we make a partnership in business. One person has got the expertise, another person has got the money. We put it all together and there we have something come out very good. So in the same way, somebody will have the knowledge of deen. Somebody else can contribute towards that. All this, Maulana Mufti Saeed Palanpuri, Damat Barakatum of the Mufti, the Sheikh al-Hadith of Darul Uloom Deoband, in one place he explained that the people must establish madaris. And he says the ulama usually, the financial side won't come from the ulama. That will come from the other sector, the business sector usually. But then the expertise in that will come from the ulama. And when we put it together, ilm will come alive. And ilm will spread in the world. And so much of goodness. And for this we see right from the beginning, Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu was a big businessman. But he gave all his wealth for the sake of deen. And throughout the annals of history, business people have got a very great share as far as deen is concerned in that field. And then the ulama, they do their work. They must do their work, to do the teaching, etc. Then inshallah, the knowledge of deen. And the knowledge of deen is a object on its own. Further, to practice upon it, etc., that is absolutely essential. But just the knowledge of deen is a very, very great thing. So that is one great objective of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his coming in this world, his mission, and which must we must make every individual in the ummah, even women folk. In fact, there were those women, like for example, Hazrat Maulana Ali Mia, Maulana Abul Hasan al-Nadawi rahmatullah alayh, his mother was an extremely pious person. And Maulana Abul Hasan Nadawi is really the result and the culmination of his mother's du'as, his mother's efforts upon him all the time. I found Maulana Gora Saliji, just to make ta'ziyat, his auntie had passed away, mother of Maulana Mufti Ibrahim Saliji. So he says she was also such a pious person, lady, and Mufti Ibrahim Saliji, he says, she was just like the mother of Maulana Abul Hasan Nadawi. So there are many other women like that. We might know a few, we might not know, but as a mother, that what they can do. And mothers have done a great deal in the promotion of deen. And wives have done a great deal in the promotion of deen. So this is not only for the ulama, this is not only for the man, even for the woman. So the knowledge of deen, may Allah make that an object in our lives. Then another great mission for which Allah had sent Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this world is for the tabligh of deen, to convey deen to other people. One is to, and without the knowledge of deen, then what will we be conveying? It will be all things which we are imagining, which will be all khurafat, bid'at, rusumat, etc., customary things. First the knowledge of deen, then we will be able to promote deen. Then we will be able to propagate deen. So the tabligh of deen is also an object. And the tabligh in one form, the great form of tabligh and da'wat as we all know it, and all other forms of tabligh also. Giving adhan also. But the dua after adhan, Allahumma rabba hadhihi da'wati tamma. That this the adhan is a da'wati tamma, complete da'wat by the tongue and teachings of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahu Akbar. In one riwayat it comes, a muadzin who gives adhan only for the pleasure of Allah tabaruk wa ta'ala, his reward is like that of a shaheed whose whole body is covered with blood. How much he sacrificed, his whole body is covered with blood. That muadzin who is giving his adhan just for the pleasure of Allah ta'ala, his reward is so great. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh should shy away from making imamat. Whenever they used to travel, but he was always ahead to give adhan. He was very keen to give adhan. What a great imam. And today, unfortunately, we regard like giving adhan is like a very low job. Like it hasn't got value. Hazrat Maulana Shah Abrarul Hadsab Rahmatullah Alayh of Hardur used to say, you people build masjids of millions of rands, but you keep your muadzin of a few cents. The muadzin, he calls towards the masjid. He calls towards the house of Allah Ta'ala. He should be also of that caliber and that category. Usually, Allah give us all tawfiq, that all our muadzins, the imam takes the responsibility that he gives adhan correctly. In fact, just one little message that came, may Allah give us all tawfiq to make amal, that some person was copying the adhan of different people, different nationalities. And Ajami people, their tongue is not clear, they can't pronounce properly, so he was like making a mockery out of it. That how this country's people, how they give adhan. That country's people, how they give adhan. That country's people, how they give adhan. If that has to come on our phone, and we just smile at that also, we are in a very, very dangerous position. Allah save us such things and forwarding it to others, etc. That how dangerous it is. Such things must be deleted immediately. And the person who send it, if we can, send him a message and take him to task for that. So that explain to him that how dangerous this thing is. To the person who did it is very dangerous. But for us to now pass it around and many other things like that. Not only this, there are so many things. Allah protect us. Anyway, the adhan is a great da'wat of Islam. And like that, everything else also, and in many forms, whichever way we can promote Islam. If we go home and we tell them, I learned this in the talk today. Juma Bayan. Whatever, other lot of bayans take place, everywhere there are bayans, and we go and say, we also did tabligh. We conveyed that message also. and it is our duty also. And all the time if we do this, in fact our Shaykh Jazahumullah Khair, we should say now, normally us people, grown up people, we're not young students in a Darul Uloom studying by the Ustad and that. For us now to sit and swat and memorize the thing is usually beyond us now. We don't have that capacity. We don't have that passion. So he says for us to memorize, to learn Deen, the easy way is what you heard, especially everyone, something it just hits the heart. So something just registers. At least that, go and tell it to 10 people. And then we automatically we will remember it. And we have done the work of tabligh also. And that will also help us. Like Maulana Muhammad Umar Sahib Palanpuri Rahmatullah Ali said, that one person in a shopping complex, he wasn't namazi, and the people had concern that he must make namaz, so they went and tell him. But he says, I've got this excuse, that excuse, all different types of excuses. They said, alright, just do this, that every namaz time, go and tell 10 other shopkeepers in that complex that you people must go for namaz. Allah made it such that 10 people he told, all were namazis. They were going regularly. So he went and he told them, and as they were going, it was also such that they had to pass his shop. And they told him, you told us to go for namaz, we're going now. It was hardly a few namaz times, a few days, that he felt shy. That I telling them, they all going and I'm not going. He became a proper namazi. So just giving the message, go and give it to the wife, and then see that she won't let you rest until you don't make amal on it, always. She will always keep you in check. Go and tell it to the children will never leave you also. That Abbu, Abba, you told us to do this, we are doing it, but you're not doing it. You also have to do it. So in this way it will come. So the tabligh of deen. Then another very important aspect, which was also a mission of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, is tazkiyah in nafs, islah in nafs. Call it, Allah give me hidayat. Call it that my tazkiyah, my islah must be done. Call it that I must come right. How long am I going on? Whatever. But now to purify our soul also. This is also a very important aspect which generally we don't think about it. Acquiring knowledge till to some extent we feel is necessary. For our children we feel I must make him, he must go to maktab. He must learn to read Quran Sharif. He must know the basics of deen. At least my one child must become a hafiz. He must become an alim. That is still amongst us. And alhamdulillah it's growing. So much so that the daughters also we are sending them, they also becoming alimas, they becoming hafizah, etc. All that is on its place. So that is done. Tabligh also, alhamdulillah, to some extent, to quite an extent, it is being done. But this concern of tazkiyah and nafs, that my heart I must purify, I must cleanse my heart. What I'm learning, I must make amal on that. I must recognize who my Allah is. Perhaps whole life we are making namaz, but marifat of Allah, to know who is Allah. In fact, if we think, there are many qualities of Allah Ta'ala. One is Allahu Akbar. Allah is the greatest. Alhamdulillah, Subhanallah, many, many other qualities of Allah Ta'ala. To make tilawat of Quran Sharif, we are commanded. But if you didn't make any day tilawat of Quran as such, it isn't that you're a sinner, but it's our duty. We have to read Quran Sharif, Durood Sharif. But Allah has made Allahu Akbar such a thing. In my little humble thought, somebody can help me and guide me and correct me also, that Allah has made to say Allahu Akbar 11 times a day, farz ayn on every person. How 11 times? Our 6 namazes, 5 farz namazes and our witr namaz. And then sunnat muakkada before or after namaz, another 5. So, and that is our basics. We have to read those namazes. We don't read nafil. Allah give us tawfiq. Now all other namazes also, sunnat, ghair, muakkada, we must. But this 11 namazes, they, for every Muslim it's farad. And our namaz cannot start till we did not say Allahu Akbar. And men have got an extra bonus here that we hear the Imams Allahu Akbar also. And we say it also. The ladies might not hear, but their own Allahu Akbar to start the namaz is Fardh Ain. And then again, if we calculate the whole day for an average Muslim, not really a very pious Muslim, not who is doing very much, listening to Allahu Akbar and saying Allahu Akbar comes to about 500 times a day. With the Adhan, Tasbihat after Fajr, after Asr, etc., all the different times, in every namaz, our intiqal, from one position we change to another position, Allahu Akbar. And if we are reading in Jamaat, we are hearing the Imams Allahu Akbar also, and we also saying Allahu Akbar. Besides, when we get up from Ruku and when we make Salam. And for the ladies also, how much of Allahu Akbar? Adhan we are all hearing. And it's a requisite of us that we reply to Adhan. So we replying the Allahu Akbar again. So almost close to... So if the greatness of Allah comes into us, that how great Allah Ta'ala. But unfortunately, this is one thing of ghaflat, unmindfulness, which has put such a cloud on our minds. It is like, for example, a person wants to buy a certain car, whether it is the head of the family, the one son in the car, in the family, somebody in the family, all discourage him, don't buy that. But when he is determined, almost nobody can change his mind. If he wants to do anything, somebody wants to go for a holiday and somebody discourages him and it is in his mind, I have to go for this holiday. You can turn whatever you want to around, you can try, it just doesn't. It doesn't work. So this haflat, this cloud that comes over a person. So like that, we don't have to think of other people. Allahu Akbar, almost about 500 times a day, we are hearing, we are repeating, but yet it hasn't got effect. The greatness of Allah. And if the greatness of Allah comes into us, automatically our insignificance will come. And if our insignificance comes, the greatness of Allah will come into us. But it isn't there. The other is, when we will realize the greatness of Allah, then we will realize the greatness of every command of Allah. But today that also is not there. The command of my husband wants it this way. My wife, she is forcing me. Wedding in the family, my wife is adamant that we must do it this way. That we will listen to. But Allah's command. And almost in everything else also, the government's command, the boss's command, everyone's command will come first. But the command of Allah, that greatness did not come into our heart. When the Sahaba, radiyallahu ta'ala anhum, made hijrat to Habsha, Ethiopia, which we call today, then this king, when the Quraysh, the enemies came and they filled up the ears of the king that these are very bad people and they speak bad about Isa alayhi salatu was salam, etc. Then the king summoned them. They decided that whatever happens, we are just going to speak the truth. If whatever happens, and Allahu Akbar, everything turned in their favor. When the Quraysh of Makkah who had come and they had brought lot of presents, they went back to the king and they filled his ears up again with other things also. Then again they summoned them and again they made mashura that we will just say things as they are. We won't hide anything. And that brought the king to cry also. And till today, one friend of ours, he says he went to Ethiopia and the Christians told him there that aren't you going to visit the grave of Najashi? They also have got great respect for him. And there he says that the Christian people, the women also, they also cover their faces till today. And they also observe deen, the Christianity. But they also, and they are totally against all these terrible things which are happening in the world. So this was the result of this truth. But today, I address myself first, that small, small things, and we are prepared to let the truth go. And we are prepared to compromise on our deen. Whereas when the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala were our role model, when they stood for deen, then Allah made deen to come alive in the whole world. So all this has to do with the ma'rifat of Allah. How much we gain that in reality, not just this words of mine, not just that we are hearing, but it comes. And if we concentrate on our namaz, the amount of times we hear Allahu Akbar, amount of times we say Allahu Akbar, just if that comes into our lives, there will be what a great change. And it doesn't need the whole world to do something. One person, one Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he changed the whole world around. If that reality can come into us. So anyway, this tazkiyah. And this tazkiyah, what we call, it is really everyone admits it and recognizes it that we need it. For example, our motor car. We use it all the time, but who will deny that my motor car doesn't have to be serviced? If we don't service the motor car, what is going to happen? How long are we going to, is it going to service us if we don't service the motor car? The same way, our namazes also have to be serviced. We are making namaz all the time. But we will see eventually when that servicing is not there, the quality of the namaz deteriorates. It goes lower. Anything, our hifz, a person, just our surahs we learn. But we don't repeat them, a time will come, we will forget the surahs. A time will come if we don't read Quran Sharif, Allah protect us all, we won't be able to read Nazara also. And there are many cases like that. So it has to be serviced all the time. Everything, our houses, we built a brand new house. It was such a house that it was a show house. But we don't service it, we don't clean it, we don't maintain it. That very show house will become not as a museum, it will be completely, the dust, the dirt, the filth, the insects, what and what will come there. So just like that, our deen also needs service. And we are not realizing it, but to some extent we are. We hear Jummah Bayan, for example. Those who are in Jamaat, more Bayans they make, they listen to more Bayans. But the more we will listen, and we make this an object, that is what is called now the Khanqa. Who we really, our heart takes to. And we go to that person, and we listen, and continuously we listen, then this reality will start coming into us. And also a great consolation is, if we keep on making effort, and we feel that I haven't achieved anything, that my piety hasn't come right, my concentration hasn't come right, but we are on the path, Allah before maut will put us there. And will that what we had objective to gain the ma'rifat, the starting of taqwa is to believe in Allah as Allah is. And that is no shirk with Allah Ta'ala, etc. And the end of taqwa is the sifat of ihsan, that all the time the thoughts of Allah. Whatever we do, we have to do it according to sunnah. And we have to do it for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. All the time this is in our mind. So this is the line. And if we are on the path and we are making effort, then ulama, great mashayikh have said, you just carry on. Allah will put you at your final point of sifat of ihsan before He takes you from this world. So anyway, this effort is greatly required. To understand this, all of us, we inshallah went to maktab, we learned our basic, whether from our mothers, from whoever else, our basics of deen we learned. Others became hafiz, became alim, became mashallah proficient in all. But with all this, this part of it, this ma'rifat of Allah, this purification of the heart, if we did not gain, then our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali many times explained to us this example of Maulana Jalaluddin Rumi Rahmatullah Ali, that the grape vine, especially if it's for commercial purposes, then it's kept very, they look after it, they don't let it grow very high, so that quality grapes can be produced. And at the bottom, all the other little leaves, branches, they cut them off. Just on the top, if we ever saw the grapevines, especially in Cape Town, wherever, then we will see how these grapevines are. So in this grapevine, there's a little insect, and it walks from the bottom and it comes up to the stem, up the stem. And when it comes to the leaves, it starts eating the leaves, which is a common thing. And then you find holes in the leaves. And then they use all types of things in order to kill those insects, etc. Because the quality is going to affect the quality of the grape. But that insect now spends its whole life on the leaf. It gets nourished also, it's living also, its life is carrying on also. Whole life it spends on the leaves. So our Shaykh used to say, Maulana Jalaluddin Rumi rahmatullah, say, if that little insect, there was somebody to tell it, you have made so much effort, you came right from the bottom, you came right to the top here. And your life you are spending on the leaves, if you just go 1 centimeter higher, 1 inch more, and you get 1 drop of the grape juice, then you will say your subhanallah will come out from the bottom of your heart. That on the leaves you are living, you are getting your nourishment, you are being sustained, everything, but you just get little bit, 1 drop of the grape juice itself, then you will really know my efforts now, they have borne fruit. All what I sacrificed. Like that, we started learning Alif Ba Ta Tha. We started joining words. More things we did. Then we started reading little Quran Sharif. We learned some surahs. Some of us became hafiz, became qaris. Some of us, then we started fa'ala, fa'ala, fa'alu. And all that we had to go through, our nahwa, our surf, how many things we had to learn and sort off we came. All this is that little insect walking. And then we came till Bukhari Sharif. We are still just on that leaf still. If somebody could tell us, and that cloud which is on our head, which it got moved out, and we understood that I go that 1 inch further, and I get 1 drop, so to say, of that, not grape juice, but of the love of Allah. Then see what that person's namaz is. Then see what that person's Bukhari Sharif becomes. Then see his hibs of Quran Sharif, what it becomes when we gain 1 drop of the love of Allah Ta'ala. So this is a great mission of our life also. Our namazes, our food that we eat. When we will get up in the morning, that dua, inshallah, all of us read it hopefully. That Alhamdulillah illadhi ahyana, O Allah, you brought me back to life again. That if that marifat of Allah comes, now with what joy we will read this dua. That, O Allah, I was like a dead person when I was sleeping. And now you brought me back to life again. My eyes were not working when I was sleeping. My mind was not working, but you brought me back to life again. And ba'da ma amatana, you gave us death. And this death, so to say, the sleep, which is very closely related to death, because a person is like, what? How it restores a person. How many times a person at night, his brain just don't want to function. You're trying to read your wazifas also, you can't get to finish them. Your brain is not functioning. Somebody asks you a simple question, please, not now. We'll see. But when you got that nice sleep, now you are again fresh. Who gave us that? So that recognition there of Allah Ta'ala. When we sit down to eat, Allahu Akbar, then when we eat, and it comes in the Hadith Sharif, Allah becomes very pleased with that person, that every morsel that he takes, he says, Alhamdulillah. Or at least after now and then, and with that recognition, that Ya Allah, that Maulana Shah Ashraf Ali Thanvi Rahmatullah Alayh, on one occasion was eating, and one little, like a grain of rice, or one pea, or something like that, it fell down, it rolled away. He looked for it, he couldn't find it. Little children were playing off the neighborhood, he asked them to look for it, they found it. He cleaned it, he ate it. When he went to the khanqa, he explained to them, this happened today. Then he asked them, do you know why I did all that? Because that one grain of rice, that one pea, that one seed, it is the how many creation of Allah worked in order to produce it. the rising of the sun, the rays of the sun, the ripening of it which was required of the sun, the winds that blow, the sun, the rains that come, the water of the rains, the people that worked on it, and for those people, for one person to come to work, how many of his things have to be in order, then he can come to work. If something of his, one small thing is not in order, his wife is ill, he is perfect. But now he's taking his wife to hospital. He can't come to work. How many things? For that, how many tractors work? For the tractors, how many things in that tractor? The roads that are made. And for the roads to be made, Allah, there is no limit for that one, this ma'rifat of Allah. And now when we eat that food, and to the level of one's ma'rifat, then the value of it, when we will say, Alhamdulillah. According to that, our closeness to Allah. And then with ma'rifat comes the muhabbat and the love of Allah Ta'ala. And anything, love is that thing that changes the whole, turns the world upside down. For example, a person, there are people married, they might be very rich also, and they've got all facilities, amenities, what they house, what they mention, but no love between husband and wife. For whatever reason, some arguments took place, some accusation, some whatever, no love. What is that marriage? And another couple may be very poor. They've got nothing, not even the basics, but they've got love between them. Similarly, one is that deen of ours. We are making namaz also, we are making tilawat also, we are making dhikr, but the love of Allah is not there. Okay? And one is that which we are doing, but we are doing it with the love of Allah Ta'ala. What a world of difference. So for this, Alhamdulillah, like every year, we are having our Islahi Jalsa also on the 12th, 13th and 14th of Jamadiul Ukhra, the middle dates, the middle weekend of the month of Jamadiul Ukhra, and the 7, 8 and 9 of February in Azadwal. And this is all where there will be ulama, different ulama, trying to explain, make us understand that this tazkiyah, where knowledge of deen, which Alhamdulillah we understand to quite an extent, but much more is required in that also. Then tabligh of deen also we understand. Many other departments of deen, but this department still we feel that we don't really, I'm not ready for it. Or I don't understand the importance. Why do I need it? Why do I need this in my life? This is also absolutely essential. If a person doesn't understand that his car needs servicing, if a person doesn't understand I need to eat my food, and the correct food, not all rubbish and junk food, etc. Health food, good food I need to eat. A person understands that I have to keep myself healthy and fit also. Like that, if we can understand, for our deen, to maintain our deen, that is also so important, so that our namazes can become namaz. When we say, when we hear the adhan, Allahu Akbar, today our condition, I speak of myself, adhan goes, but it makes no difference to me. Hey, whatever work we are engaged in, dunya's work, deen's work, we just carry on. Let the muazzin carry on, and we carry on with our work. Whereas that was such a thing, the adhan, that Allahu Akbar, that greatness of Allah, hasn't even tickled me, hasn't touched my heart. Otherwise, when that muazzin, on behalf of Allah, don't look who that muazzin is, but he is calling on behalf of Allah Ta'ala. And he is giving that great da'wah that Allah is the greatest. And ulama have given what explanation, the four Allahu Akbar at the beginning, that all four directions, Allah is the greatest. Basic elements are four. Of the greatest of all of them and everything is Allah Ta'ala. Allah is the greatest. And at the end, again, twice it's repeated to remind us. We start our namaz with Allahu Akbar, if that greatness can come into us. So for this, to whatever extent it can, and we attend these programs, inshallah, it will have some effect or the other. Some Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali says that one is that type of namaz which is thrown back at a person's face. So badly he made that namaz. Allah make us maaf or Allah forgive us. But Hazrat Shaykh says, even that namaz is better than not making namaz. So our little, we not really seems that we are not getting anywhere. But our little effort is better than no effort whatsoever. So let us keep on trying, and inshallah, Allah in His mercy, in these times when Allah Ta'ala is so merciful, like a gathering like this, wherever there are gatherings of deen, students want sabak. We don't realize the importance. Students have got 6 sabaks a day, 8 sabaks a day, whatever. Every sabak that they are learning, they are gathered for deen. At the end of that, all who gathered for the sake of Allah, Allah Ta'ala says, Qumu maghfur lakum. All of you get up, you have been forgiven. When we get up from here, I don't think of it. Who of us thinks of it? When we get up from here, this announcement is made. That you came for my sake, and Allah give us all tawfiq. When even we go for our first namazes to the masjid, for any other gathering, a bayan, etc., then make this niyat, I'm going to meet my Muslim brothers for the pleasure of Allah. And when Allah, that is, the malaika announce your walking is very honorable. Your coming there is very, what a great thing to come. Just for the, and we can do this all 5 times a day for our namazes. Then there are so many of us, we are in the madrasas, we are going to madrasa, we are going to teach the students, I'm going to teach, meet my students for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. And that Allah will be pleased with me. What great rewards won't we get for that? So like this year, and then Allah Ta'ala announces at the end, or through an angel it is announced, that all your sins have been changed into good deeds. How merciful is not Allah? And Allah does it. So every time we can get this. So all this, if we gain the marifat, the closeness, recognition, and together with that, we need tazkiyah enough. The heart has to be clean, then Allah comes into that heart. If the heart is dirty, then how will Allah come? Allah is pure and clean. So this whole process, which we call normally today the Khanqah process, is 2 main things. Purification of the heart, and then getting Allah, nisbat with Allah Ta'ala. The recognition of Allah. And that automatically on that follows the love of Allah Ta'ala. And when we have that love of Allah, our whole deen is a different deen. It is completely to our 2 sons, for example. Our 2 daughters, both are married, but the one, there is love in that couple. And the other one hasn't. Both are married, but what the difference between the 2? Like that, we all are making namaz. All of us, our deen is there. We are making our deen. But at the same time, everyone, according to that connection we got with Allah, that deen of ours is that love of Allah. Then that deen, the namazes, the tilawat, the dua, the zikr, has got that value. And if we haven't got that love, we are still doing it. Many people don't do anything then. But if we are doing it, then it is there we are doing, but without that love. And we should ask Allah Ta'ala, make this dua also, that Ya Allah, as great as you are, one madzub made this dua for something else, but add it for us, that Ya Allah, how great you are, how big you are, so much you give us tawfiq of your ibadah, and so much you give us the enjoyment in that ibadah. So that when we make Allah's ibadah, we get that enjoyment also. Then so inshallah, Allah give us all tawfiq. If we all take this message to our friends, try and bring, if one person tries and bring in his car another 4 persons for the Islahi Jalsa, and we don't know who might just shine out there. And then all that will come in our account also. That if every one of us make that little effort, our human folk, we tell them to make dua for the Islahi Jalsa. And somebody's, one person's life changes, then that lady's, her full share is in there also. So Allah give us tawfiq, Allah has given us this opportunity. Together with that, we know what the condition of the ummah is in the world. But just to make it a news item, it's not going to get us anywhere. Firstly, that when we hear, at least we should have that hamdardi, that feeling. If we talk about it also, not just for the sake of talking, but that I feel it. If one part of my body is sore, one toe is sore, a little bit, one small little path is itching, then that is also an issue. The whole ummah is where, if we are one ummah, and Allah has put that iman, all what is happening, any part of the world, it should hurt me also. So with that feeling we should speak. And with that then, dua we should make. How many of us are really making dua? Dua for, if it is my sister, my daughter, my mother, what conditions in Syria, what conditions in Kashmir, in UP, in India, so many other places, what condition? And if we are more than our blood relation, is our dini relation. But how lot of feeling have we got? How much are we really making dua? Together with that, at least at such times, give up our sinning, which is our enemy. And because of our sins, conditions are coming on us. If don't worry about other people not giving up sin, I must give up sin. And more than that, let me try and give up some of my luxuries and comforts. Little bit in solidarity, and this has a great effect. Allah sees one person where this is happening, and where somebody in another part of the world, he makes that little bit sacrifice in solidarity with those people, Allah changes conditions. And Allah, conditions are only in the hand. We should do. But how much can we, how many food hampers can we give? How many blankets can we give? And the people who are in need, what numbers they are. If Allah changes the condition, and Allah can change conditions completely. What happened in Kashmir, Babri Masjid went from the hands of the Muslims. But for us, it's like nothing happened. But if my house had to go, or something, my one small thing has to be, somebody took it, how lot I'll feel it? A masjid is gone. And who, Babur, if we're not aware of our history also, what a king and how much he did for Islam. And he built this masjid. Today what he did has been just given away for a temple, and it hasn't got effect on. Now all these problems, but they are not. So at least du'as we make, our hamdardi, our feeling, not just to speak about it. And then one thing more after that, if we can, Allah give me and us all tawfiq to make some mannat also. That Ya Allah, if these conditions change, I will keep so many rozas. I will give so much money in the path of Allah. I will make so many rakats of namaz. This also helps tremendously to change conditions. So Allah give us tawfiq of that also. And then to sacrifice something of ours. Whatever we can sacrifice in solidarity with the people who are suffering. But what is happening is the people are suffering and we just still committing sins right, left and center. The firecrackers on New Year's night, Muslims are doing it. Many places, we're just like indifferent. That cloud of that ghaflat is so much, it has overtaken us. We're just not worried about anything. So much so that it must not happen. What Musa alayhi salatu wasalam made dua, that, oh Allah, you take them to task physically, then they will come right. If Allah has to put such hard conditions on us, then perhaps this ghaflat goes away. Otherwise we are just drowned in this ghaflat. Allah take me, all of us out of it, guide us to righteousness and correct our lives. So let us not forget the Islahi Jalsa and bring all for our majalis also, and on our own also speak to people about all this and try and link them up to some of our, we make shukr in our country. We have got plenty of mashayikh, great mashayikh without any doubt, who our heart inclines to try and make our connection and try and bring this change and get our deen service, and we get the good results. May Allah give us all tawfiq, inshallah.